Because we had kids service today, Ken Burby's with the youth group of the kids Sunday school, so you won't hear him reading scripture, but rather me. Our first reading comes from Paul to the church at Rome, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. If you'd like to follow along, you can find it in your pew Bible on page 145. Hear these words of Paul. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our second reading comes from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through chapter 10, verse 8. It's in the beginning of the New Testament on page 9, if you'd like to read along. Hear this story and these words. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, over the nearly 2 years that I've been with you, you probably figured out that my thinking is somewhat linear. So it wasn't too tough as I read this scripture lesson to go from stories of harvests and laborers going out into the fields right into an idea of Father's Day. And so today, two very special men in my life come to mind. First, my father, Bill Morris, but also a guy who has served as a mentor and a spiritual father for many, many years, Reverend Dr. Lynn Evans. But let me start first with Lynn, because he's an amazing guy. When I first got to know Lynn and to understand his ministry, he was fond of making a joke. And that was, I'm a pastor, and pastors only work on Sunday, and then only for a few hours. And as I thought about his joke, which he said almost all the time, I realized that I was just beginning to understand what was involved in being a minister of the good book. Because Len worked long and hard hours. And as it turned out, until I became a pastor, I never fully understood what was involved in being a pastor. Well, when you think about that, you recognize that there are many things about who we are that we probably don't fully understand. Len Evans came up from a background of farming and ranching. And I know full well that many of you here come from backgrounds of farming families and ranching families. And I think of these two professions, probably like many, many other professions, are those that we really don't understand. Most people don't have a clue what it takes to be in a farming family. I believe that most people don't really have an understanding of what it takes to run a successful ranching operation. Now, I wasn't raised on a farm, but when we lived in Cortez, Colorado, I spent several years getting to know some ranchers and beginning to understand what's involved. And I think we can fairly say that it is not a labor, it's not a lucrative business to be on a farm or be on a ranch, that it is clearly a labor of love. Think about it. For those of you who know, the day of a farmer or rancher starts well before dawn. Every day is a long one, running 12, 14, 16, 18 hours a day. 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, year in and year out. I've never met a rancher who said, "Yep, I've been on lots of vacations this year." In fact, it's rare to think of a farmer taking a day off. Again, it is not something that you do to become rich. A farmer or a rancher and their families do different tasks every day, many, many different tasks within the same day. It's never the same thing twice. But clearly, you go into that lifestyle because you love the land, you love working the land, and you love that honorable profession of raising crops and raising livestock. Well, that leads me to my dad, Bill Morris. As many of you know, if you've heard me talk a few weeks, you know that my dad was a university professor at Ohio State University in Columbus. Now, I can remember when I was a little guy, the first time I went with him, when he taught a class, an engineering class, to a huge lecture hall of college students. And I looked at him and I thought, my goodness, he spends all day talking in front of college students. How tough can that be? He gets paid for doing that. And then as I got older and I started looking a little more closely at what he did, I recognized that there is an awful lot behind the scenes in making lesson plans and lectures. And as you probably well know, if you know anybody in the teaching profession, it is highly underrated in our society. What teachers do. We pay athletes and actors more than we value education, and that is reflected in the pay to teachers and professors. But as I got older and as I understood it, I watched my dad prepare hours for those weekly lectures when he seemed to just get up and speak in front of college kids. I watched him write articles for journals, do research, and write textbooks. There's a whole lot more involved. But again, being a college professor is not something you do if you want to become a rich man. It was a labor that he did because he loved teaching and he loved the lifestyle that living near a college campus allowed. Well, when you think about pastors, farmers, ranchers, professors, none of these folks do that to become rich, but rather because they love what they do and they recognize this is the job that's important. It needs to be done, and it needs to be done right. Well, that leads us to the scripture lesson. And I don't know about you, but I can't get away from that scripture lesson without recognizing that God is calling each of us to be those laborers to go out into the field and bring back the harvest. Now, about this point, you might rightly be saying to yourself, "Wait a second, Pastor, you're not telling me that I need to take on something else into my already busy life. You're really not going to tell me that I need to serve on another committee or come out for another neighborhood festival, or do yet something else, and yes, I am. My mentor, Lynn Evans, used to say that if he wanted to get a project done and get it done well, he would always ask a busy person. And I think Lynn saw something in human nature, which is this. Busy people tend to be folks who know how to prioritize what's going on in their lives, and they know how to spend the time to make the time for that which is important in their life. And I think that is exactly what's going on in the Scripture. I think Jesus knew full well who he was calling to follow him. He picked busy people, folks who would make the priorities in their life, recognize what was important, let everything else fall away to follow Jesus Christ. I want to read to you the job description that Jesus has for his 12. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Now, doesn't that begin to sound like the job description of a pastor, a rancher, a farmer, or a teacher? Well, it turns out that that is exactly the job description for anyone who would call themselves a Christian, for anyone who would want to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. We are to proclaim the good news. We are to share God's love in real and tangible ways. And we are to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And that's a pretty tall order. When you think about that job description, it's no wonder that we would be confused, that we would be in mystery. And yet the point is we have each other on a daily basis to try to figure out what it is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, what it looks like when you are truly following God, what is entailed, the tasks involved in going out into the plentiful harvest and gleaning that which has been harvested. It's a tall order. The only thing I can tell you for sure is we have each other. We have the grace of God, and we have the Holy Spirit now and always. Jesus called the laborers to go into the field to bring in the harvest, for the harvest was plentiful. We are to go into that field of the world and share the good news. Obviously, this is only a labor of love, but it's the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ. Amen.